Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to Monday, February 13th. Hi.
Hello.
How are you, Tori?
Good. How are you?
Good. We have Valentine's Day tomorrow.
Yes.
And we're going to have a great guest. Have you ever met Laurel House? She's been here before.
I don't think so.
Really? So it must have been some time since she's been here. But she's a dating relationship coach and everything. And
nice.
She's really fun.
Oh, good.
So she'll be here tomorrow. She's a friend of the show. She's been here 3-4 times already,
wow.
You know. So, yeah, it's time you met her. She's really cool. So we're going to talk, obviously, about love and Valentine's Day and all that stuff.
Fantastic.
Have you guys made any preparations for Valentine's Day?
No.
No preparations,
no,
right?
No, we're lame.
You just, well, there's no, you know, I mean, you just go by, you know, as it goes, you know, yeah. you flow with it. Yeah,
yeah.
I mean, you're a married couple.
Every day is Valentine's Day.
Exactly. You're a married couple. It's not like you have to impress each other. Or
no. And we, you know, and our anniversary is right around this time when he asked me out on Valentine's Day in 2010.
Wow.
And I was like, no, what? We're best friends.
Really?
And then February 15th, he went out to the beach with Lindsay, this girl.
So it took you all of 24 hours to change your mind.
Yeah, and then the 16th, I said, I love you, and we were done.
Wow.
So quick.
Wow,
I'm very
what a
jealous
story.
Person.
Yeah. So you had, wow, so that was, did he plan this, do you think?
He says no, but come on. I mean, he was just like, well, if she's going to say no, then I'm going to have to move on.
Exactly.
And I was like, wait, no. So it was great planning by him.
Wow.
Yes.
That's interesting.
Yes.
You know, it's very interesting.
Yeah.
But so you changed your mind. But I mean, so what? But I mean, the thing is, did you think of him in that way before?
No, I mean,
no,
not
because
really,
you just
no.
told him. You said we were friends.
Yeah,
right?
and I was like, I don't want to ruin this. We were so close. We hung out every single day. I don't know what I was thinking. He's this cute single straight guy, and I'm all, where is my man?
But friendship is cool, though.
Right.
Right?
We were super close, and then he said that, and I was like, I just couldn't even imagine. Like it was just so. And then when I called him to hang out the next day, and he was like, oh, I'm at the beach with this girl who I knew and was just gorgeous, and she had mermaid hair, and she was so nice and friendly. And sporty and cool. Anyway, she turns out to be lovely. She was at our wedding. She's a very nice person. But it made me see him like that for the first time.
Right.
And all of a sudden, like, this immediate feeling came over me. And
wow.
I was like,
so you never saw him like that until he brought it up? And then
no, until he was with Lindsay, and then I was like, oh my god, I'm jealous. And that's when I was
really?
Like, oh my god, he's, because I saw him with someone else that I was
but
like,
don't
see
you
it
think
for the
it
outside.
Was like maybe a jealousy of a friend, maybe?
No,
no?
It was not.
No,
it was like
it
that is my man.
Really?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. You could see
so,
it change
so,
quickly.
But all that means is in the back of your mind, I think
sure.
you hoped that.
I
too.
Think so. Somewhere there it was there, but that unlocked it was the key to everything. So yeah.
You see, I say often that's what happens in mixed relationships like that. When there's a man and a woman, one of them at least wants to go to bed with the other, often, you know.
So, with friendships?
In friendships.
Yeah. That's like when Harry met Sally. They're like, it's very hard to be male and female.
Right.
Yeah.
And it doesn't happen a lot, you know. And when it does, you know, and then one of the people decides they're going to act on it. And then either you both do and it works out. Or
you're done.
Right.
My parents were friends. And then he asked her and she was like, no, we're friends. Same thing happened.
Mm.
Same exact thing. And it can make for great relationships or it can end in terrible disaster.
That's true. I mean, if you were like totally opposed to it.
Oh, yeah.
That could have been an explosion.
But
then again, if you're friends.
Yeah.
You're not going to lose
each like,
other.
I feel like you're either friends in the friend zone where like there's a clear understanding.
Right.
This is not happening. And we were kind of like more like fluid than that, where we would hang out like all the time.
Yeah.
So he went for it. I mean, that's the lesson of the story. You got to be bold. And if you got to, he heard me and I said, I'm not interested. And he moved on.
Yeah.
And I don't know if it was a planned thing, but it worked out.
Yeah. You see, to me, when I was about 20, 21, I met this gorgeous woman and I, well, we were still kids, let's say 20, 21,
mm-hmm,
right?
Mm-hmm.
And I really wanted her. You know, she was beautiful and everything. But we started as friends because we worked together.
Mm-hmm.
But then we started kissing and everything. But I never took it beyond that. Not only that, but I would encourage her to find a guy. And I'm like, what the fuck am I doing? You know, but I wanted to seem like a true friend. I didn't want to seem like... You know, I don't know why. I felt that if I showed romantic interest, she would leave.
Okay. Okay. So you probably felt some kind of pheromone between the two of you that if you did act on it, it wouldn't work out.
No, that's not it even. I think what it was
were
is
you just
that
scared?
I thought I would scare her away. And to me, it was more important just to be in touch with her.
Right, right.
Then, but we would like kiss and stuff. But I mean, obviously the door was open, right?
Right, right.
I mean, she was.
So you never took that chance.
I never took a chance. Never even got to second base with her.
The saddest word in by the tongue or pen are those that read, it might have been.
Right.
So sad.
It might have been. And that's why we say, I regret only the things that I did not
do. Right, yeah. You got to jump on that because you never know when it's the love of your life.
Exactly.
You know what I mean?
And I still am obsessed with her.
Yeah, well, yeah, you still think about her.
Exactly.
You came up with that
like
immediately.
40 years later, yeah. You know? I mean, my God.
Yeah,
but,
vivid imagination.
Yeah, but that was like a memory that stays with you.
Sure,
you know, when
sure,
you're
sure,
really
sure.
in love with someone and...
you don't go for it.
Yeah, you know, so it was an a love that was not actually... realized.
Right. Yeah, that's really sad.
I know,
like,
right?
I'm teary about it. Have you looked her up? Is she like maybe?
I try to look her up. I can't find her anywhere. In fact, when we had Alan here, I asked him to remember Alan.
Oh, that's who you asked to get back in touch with.
Yeah, but he never looked her up for me, so I need to ask him again. But that's a nice thing. When they find someone, they first ask them if it's okay for their client to contact them. You
sure,
know?
Like
so,
you just want to see. Yeah, you don't want to creep them. Yeah, you
exactly.
Don't
I mean, they're like maybe private detectives and stuff, but they can look up a person, but they're not just going to let you stalk them
no,
or anything.
No, that would
they're
be a
say,
bad thing.
This person is looking for you. Do you want to meet them?
Yes.
You know? And then it would work. So
well,
I'm sure she'd want to meet me. I mean, she was on. You see, the thing is, I had very low self-esteem at the time, obviously.
Right.
So I remember, but sometimes I would just muster up enough courage to go and see her after I would like be, no, she probably doesn't want to see me, blah, blah, blah. And every time I'd go there, she was so happy to see me.
God.
So she was like totally available.
God.
It was all in my head. But it just goes to show you, man, you get low self-esteem, you got to do something about it.
That's right.
Because it's going to keep you from doing so many things in your life. You
and
know?
It's like the only prison that you had built right then was your own. Was your
exactly.
own. The door was wide open. You could have walked right into it and you were like, nope.
Exactly.
So you got to be bold.
Yeah.
I know.
Shit, I could have been married to her today.
Or she could have turned out to be a nag and you would have hated her and it turned out for the best. So you don't know.
Yeah.
You don't
know.
You know what I mean?
I know. It's just, I mean, but look, the circumstances were understandable. I mean, she had just gotten out of a physically abusive relationship.
Oh, yeah. You were being a gentleman.
And stuff. Yeah. So I just thought, well, maybe she doesn't want anybody right now.
Yeah.
Maybe she just wants a friend.
Yeah. And
so
she
that's
probably
what
did.
I did. But no, she ended up with a guy,
right.
You know, while I was a friend.
There's a sense that you thought there was a moment you could have had and you didn't take
right,
it. Yeah, yeah.
Right.
I get that.
Maybe what I wanted is when I told her you should find someone is wanted her to say something like, no, I want you.
See, but you want her
but
to
she
do
never
the chase.
Said that.
No, because you got to chase
right.
harder.
Exactly.
I didn't know that at the time.
I
know. You always want the woman to make sure you know that they're interested, but you got to put yourself out there
That's
first.
That's true, right?
Or the other
but
way around.
But how could she not know? I mean, you know,
we're not mind readers,
sir. We were like kissing for crying out loud.
Not mind readers. Make it obvious.
Yeah. Exactly. Maybe at the same token, she thought maybe I felt
That's
something
what I'm saying.
Was wrong
You have no
with
idea.
Her, right?
Yeah, you have no idea what she was thinking.
Yeah.
This woman, this has plagued you.
Yeah, there you go. Well, Valentine's Day, folks.
Yes.
That's what you got to think.
Heartstrings.
Past loves, future loves, you know,
totally.
Whatever. But it's cool, you know. It's a cool holiday, I guess. And makes us think a little bit about our spouse and stuff, you know.
I'm
except
like,
for us that don't have any.
Yeah, or wishing. But some people are very happy to have freedom there.
Yeah, yeah, of course.
You should. What do you do on Valentine's Day? What are you going to do?
Who, me?
Yeah.
Nothing.
All right.
Yeah.
There's your freedom.
Exactly. You know? I don't have to do anything.
That's
don't have
great.
To buy anything
That's
for
great.
Anybody.
That's great.
No, I'm kidding. I love buying presents. I'm just not good at it. So
right.
I put it off. And, you know.
Then it's too late.
Yeah. Then it's too late. And I'm like, what an asshole I am, you know.
Well, today is a Galentine's Day, according to Amy Poehler from Parks and Rec, which Leslie Knope was her character.
Uh-huh.
Galentine's Day is when you just thank your gal friends.
Oh, really?
So female empowerment. Thank you, friend.
There you go. All right.
He's like, all right.
Yeah. Galentine's Day. Okay, whatever.
Yeah. the gals.
But it's definitely a holiday for women mostly. Wouldn't you say it's about women?
Hey, the men get laid, though. Yeah. You know what I mean?
That's true. But what is that, like a payoff or something?
No, but I mean, it's beneficial. It's a win-win. No, I think it's a very romantic holiday, and people tend to think women are very romantic.
Right,
feminine,
and they expect things.
Yeah, but I think romantic guys that are like lifelong hopeless romantics, they love Valentine's Day.
That's true,
but there
right?
is a lot of pressure.
Yeah.
Don't get someone a red rose.
No,
well, it's
but they
just
want
a little,
the roses.
Yeah,
don't
but
they?
You don't want like a single long.
Oh,
don't know
not
what to
a
do
single
with
one.
Yeah,
yeah, get a dozen.
Or like, yeah, think
yeah
that,
get
yeah.
a dozen
or
man.
Something. Yeah, make you know, but really, you just want to express your love for them, right? That's
exactly,
what it's all about.
Yeah. I don't know. Get them something, whatever.
Yeah.
But at any rate, in a couple of minutes, we're going to bring in our guest here who is
so excited.
Very, very fascinating guest. And we don't get a lot of people that like get it. Well, we do get some adventures.
Because like Andre
right?
Dumont, yeah.
Right.
Yeah, yeah,
but
yeah.
But this time it's a woman.
Oh, I know.
And,
so exciting.
So we have a female Indiana Jones here. In just a couple minutes. But I did want to bring up a couple of things that are... that are in the news. Well, first of all, there's a dam that is breaking.
Yes.
Did you hear about
yes,
that?
Yes, in Northern California.
Yes,
yeah, yeah.
Northern California, and that's Oroville. And it's and I can't believe it because it's like almost down the road from my friends who live in Paradise.
Oh, gee. Wait, that's the name of the town?
Yeah, Paradise, California. Damn. It's a very small town. But I don't think they have to worry because they're like up on the mountain.
Okay, probably not.
And the dam is not going
to
reach
the elevation
there.
You want to be higher up. Yeah, it's
right.
It's a massive catastrophe. And
but it is. But
cluster.
They're evacuating people with only minutes to collect
yeah.
their belongings.
It's
and
like
leave.
Get your things and go.
Right.
Yeah, yeah. yeah. It was
that's
bad.
Very scary,
yeah.
you know. So I don't know. Luckily, there's not going to be rain for the next few days. So they're hoping to get that. But it's funny because it's always I always drive through Oroville to
oh,
get
really?
To my friends because I have to land in Sacramento wow. and then I drive about 2 hours up north.
You're a good friend, man.
Yeah.
Good friend.
Very good friends. Yeah. yeah. We went there. I went there. I go there at least once, twice a year,
that's
you know.
That's nice. Yeah.
See my friends
well,
there,
we hope
so.
Everyone works out there. It's very scary.
I know. But the ooh. People near the dam, my God, you know, that's
mm-hmm,
pretty scary.
Mm-hmm.
And who would have thought we'd have water problems and dam
I mean, the
problems.
Drought was everybody was. And now it's just... So much rain. It's crazy.
Yeah, I know. I know. So, God, there's so much to talk about. But you know what? I want to bring in our guest now because there's a lot to talk about. And, yeah, I mean, there's a lot in the news as well. But there's okay, just real quick, just the Grammys, right? Do you
oh,
want
yeah,
to recap
yeah.
the Grammys real
oh,
quick?
Oh, for sure.
Okay, sorry. Just a moment. No, because we can't go on without the Grammys, and I'm sure Tori wants to recap it for us.
Let's
so,
see.
Beyonce and Adele won big, right?
Yeah, and so she did a great performance and was pregnant, and people bowed down to her, and she was in a chair that went all the way back, and
wow.
she dipped all the way back. And it was beautiful. There was holograms. As a techie, you would love this performance.
Really?
There was a screen where they
oh,
showed it was crazy cool holograms and everything
wow.
And then Adele was doing a tribute to George Michael and stopped
and stood up in the beginning
and then
right.
said the F word and
really?
Said I can't do this to him and restarted it which was
right.
super brave and great
yeah I mean why not
yeah.
you know
she
not?
Always has terrible stage fright always and she
really?
Always messes up at the Grammys
so they're
so
saying
she
like she predicted
it.
This like a
yeah.
year or two ago
so yeah last time it was that the mic fell into the piano strings and messed up everything so she
oh,
can
wow.
never get a good performance so but then she won best album of the year best song she like she was sweeping it
sweeping
and
it.
She but she dedicated it to Beyonce and said
wow.
you're and she was up against Beyonce and then
yeah.
she broke her Grammy by accident and gave it half to
oh
Beyonce
my God. She should not be on the stage man
she was what? Amazing
wow
but
wow.
she said it was like everything she's ever she loved and then Beyonce started crying so it was great it was really female like supporting each other
good.
And Gaga played with Metallica and that was of course a mic issue but Gaga's such a pro she just joined the mic with
uh-huh.
the lead singer and went crazy and it was awesome
yeah how could people screw up like that you know
I feel like they said the mic was literally just turned off
really?
Yeah.
Wow.
I'm like, turn, really? You're at the Grammys, dude.
Yeah, exactly, man. Get it ready. You know, some people
yeah.
have only one job. They can't do it.
I
right.
know. Bruno Mars did a great Prince tribute and
really?
Played some awesome guitar.
No, not a lot of politics last night.
Oh, a ton of resistance.
Really?
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Really?
Give me a break, yeah.
What about that woman that wore the Trump dress? Did
I don't,
you see that?
Yeah,
thing?
Okay. She wore Make America Great Again on the back. It said, said Trump in silver sequins. She got trolled real bad. She's got her own comeuppance. But James Corden did do a thing in the beginning about Trump, too. And he did a rap to open the whole thing. Mm. And it was all anti-Trump. I mean, yeah. Okay. Interesting.
All right. I'm just saying that the thing is, just in a related note, the White House announced that they're going to prepare to expand the social media team. So now it's not just Trump.
Oh, no. I don't think that's a good idea.
But maybe it's a good idea because they're going to, calm him down a little bit.
You're thinking like dilution.
I'm just thinking, think twice about what you're saying, you know. But
how about you get off social media and fix the fucking world? How about that? Yeah. Get off social media. You're the president.
All right. Well, maybe that's why he's getting a team.
Excuse me.
All right. Well, folks, we're going to bring in our guests who's sitting here patiently.
Yay!
And we can't keep her waiting anymore. And we're joined by Lynn Doran. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Hello.
Did I mention your name right?
Yes.
Doran?
Yes, you did.
Okay.
Perfect.
Awesome. Welcome to the show, Lynn.
Thank you.
Now, Tori, I want you to know she made a long drive to be here this morning.
Oh, yeah?
An hour and a half, right, Lynn?
An hour and a half to go about 30 miles.
Oy.
Wow.
Yay. Yes. We appreciate it.
Yeah, so that's like three times what it should take.
Wow.
It averaged 26 miles an hour.
Oh my god.
Yeah.
You're crawling.
People have to understand, look, if you're taking like a scenic route or something, that's fine. But bumper to bumper traffic
for an hour and a half is not fun. No. Do you listen to audiobooks or?
No, I actually listen. I use the app Waze.
Oh yeah, Waze is great.
And
well, that's for GPS.
Yeah.
But
yeah.
How do you keep busy? That's I think what she means.
Radio.
Yeah,
for sure. Music.
Good. Well, maybe some good people music, are stuck in music, traffic now music. And listening to you. So there
you
go.
Yeah, there you go. Yes. Pay it forward.
Yeah. Now, Lynn, so we were teasing this as an adventure, and in my opinion, in Tori's opinion, you are.
Mm-hmm.
You're an author photographer, and you spent some time in Africa documenting cultures that are not very known to us.
I've spent quite a bit of time in Africa. The book that I've just published is specifically the tribes of the Omo Valley.
Omo Valley.
In Ethiopia.
Ethiopia.
Spelled O-M-O, correct?
Correct.
Omo.
Correct.
Omo. I guess, yeah, things that you translate from would be pretty simple translation and be like, you hear the word. What does Omo mean in the local language?
It's the name of the river. It's the Omo River that runs from Addis Ababa down south, down into Lake Turkana in northern Kenya.
Wow!
I was saying Addis. I thought it was Addis Ababa. Have I been saying that? Totally
I know. Wrong? I thought so too. But she's saying Addis Ababa.
Wow!
Abeba,
I feel like
right?
a real jerk. Ababa. Addis yeah. Ababa sounds way better.
Yeah, but that's the thing. Americans, we change the pronunciation of a lot of things.
Yeah,
we
bad.
Do
a lot of things, right? I mean, some of them don't even sound the same, you know. So, but okay. So Addis Ababa, right?
That's how Addis you said. Ababa.
Addis Ababa. Addis.
The local people just call it Addis.
Addis.
Okay, yeah. Sounds good. Okay, so we understand that now. So there's an Omo River that's starting in Ethiopia, going all the way to Kenya. Did you say?
Correct. And the reason I wanted to get to see this culture when I did is that the government was building a dam.
Oh wow! Talk about dams. Weird.
Yeah, we were just talking about. Yeah. You were talking about dams. And when they do that, they're diverting the water that the tribes in the southern Ethiopia are dependent on.
That's true, right? And I mean, often civilizations, they live, settle down
by
near
the
water.
It's
right?
always been the water, yeah.
Yeah, so now they're taking away their water.
So that 3 years ago, I was there to photograph or to experience, because I love to experience indigenous cultures. That's kind of been my goal for the past 16 years. And I knew the dam was coming. I'd heard it. You know, once you start networking with groups of people, you start hearing what's going on with different areas of the world and the indigenous cultures. And I heard the dam was coming, and it's like, I have to get there before this happens.
Wow.
And it took me a couple of years to find the trip to get me in.
Yeah, how did you, that's what I'm interested in. How did you become okay with them, with them being okay with you kind of coming in and taking photographs?
You find the person to travel with who has a really good rapport.
I see.
And has a respect for the people. You have to go in with respect for the people, who they are, their culture. And not judge them.
Mm-hmm.
Of course. Well, you're coming in as a stranger also. You're in the minority there. You don't want to judge them. You know, you don't want to start, you know, you need to be more like an observer in the beginning,
absolutely.
Right? You can't like start participating right away in what they do. So you come in as an observer. Now, the person that got you there, that was that like a person that's also native there? Or
he's,
did you...
Steve Turner, he's a white Kenyan.
White Kenyan, okay.
And his family in the 50s, they came from Europe down into Nairobi. Settled in Nairobi, and his parents started a safari company.
Oh, wow.
And so Steve took the company over. He was, I believe, like 20, around 20 years old, 30 years ago. Mm-hmm. So he's had the company ever
wow.
since. And Steve himself likes to do the extreme trips, and the rest of his people do, you know, the more normal Kenya, Tanzania type of trips.
Right.
But Steve loves to get into the real extreme, out-of-the-way places.
Really? Wow.
And it took me a couple years to find him. And there was a small group of us, and all very experienced travelers, and from all over the, some from Australia, some from Europe, two of us from the U.S., and you know that was it.
Wow!
But we camped on the riverbanks with the tribes, and it was just an unbelievable experience.
So you went as a group. It wasn't
there
just you and
seven,
that person.
Seven of us.
Seven of you. Okay, so
seven of us.
He. So you're saying he sort of like communicated with the tribe and explained to them probably
the
leaders.
He was the conduit. He was the
yeah.
conduit.
He,
we always had to have a local person because there's so many different languages. And I couldn't really communicate other than sign language or
right.
with people. But you know, you build a rapport. Just
wow.
being with
even
them.
Not being able to talk to them, huh?
Well, you sort of nod and smile, and you know, you say words. Of course, they don't understand, and
right, and they say words you don't understand.
Yeah, exactly.
Wow,
and then
but
you,
that's
you know,
so cool.
You guys are just sharing space together.
Yeah. You take their picture, and you can, of course, with you know a good camera, you can show them picture on the back of the camera.
Exactly. So that's what
that.
I was wondering when
they love that
because yeah, they're probably wondering what the hell are they doing pointing
yeah.
something at us,
and
you
they're,
know?
They're
and
actually,
I mean, you took some really like. Let's say intimate pictures, you know, some
yeah, yes,
right.
Very.
So and for them to allow that, you had to build obviously quite a trust with them.
Yeah, you just.
I mean, there's a picture of a breast there, you know, and of course I remember that, right? I mean, with me with National Geographic and everything.
Yeah, but I don't think that's intimate to them.
No, it's not. But to me, it seemed like for you to take a picture of a breast of a young woman would probably require a lot of trust. Although for them, it's not a big deal,
right?
Right,
that's
okay,
the thing.
Gotcha. Okay.
It's not,
for them,
yeah.
it's not a big deal at all.
Right.
That's just their culture.
I mean, the kids are going without anything, right? I see their genitals and everything.
Oh, the men too.
Oh, the men too.
Oh, yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's just the way they
so
are.
So is that like, I mean, do they like measure each other that way or they don't really care?
Oh, they
right?
don't even care.
Yeah, because when it's out there, it's probably usually shriveled up and
they
everything.
They don't even care.
Right? Wow. What about the women? They don't need to walk around naked though, right?
No, a lot of them put their breasts out. That's
breasts,
just,
but what about bottoms?
They usually have some type of skirt on.
Right.
A hide skirt.
So would sometimes. You call it the sense of modesty on their part though? So women are more... let's say, mysterious, more protected, more guarded for the men to walk around with their genitals just out there and for the women not to? I wonder how that works for
them. No, I'm not quite sure why women usually have a skirt on, but they usually have some sort of covering on.
Right. Well, maybe an expression. Women like to have fashion, get into fashion and stuff, right?
But they're usually bare-breasted.
Mm. Right.
And a skirt wrap on the top.
Right. So now this, I mean, can you sort of like date this culture? Could you guys figure out how long they've existed there?
Oh, gosh. I really couldn't give you that information.
Really?
I'm not an anthropologist.
Right.
You know, they've been there for generations.
Generations.
Absolutely. Generations.
Right. And what language are they speaking? Just dialects? Is it different as you go down the river? Is it changed?
By village.
By village. So
by village.
So is there a name for the Omo people for their language?
They
or is it just literally by village the way they speak?
Yeah, you know, they're the Nilotic and the Omotic villages.
Got it.
And they have different dialects from their languages and their culture.
I see. Wow. Mm. And then tell me, like, we were talking about the lip rings. A lot of these have the lip rings and the earrings. What does that symbolize? Is that a beauty? Is that a fashion?
There are many different theories as to why the lip plate existed. Some say they didn't want the men from another tribe stealing their women,
oh.
so they deformed them with a lip plate.
Oh.
But others say that's not accurate at all, and there's no written language.
It's all oral.
And some of the younger, there are only two tribes that still have the lip plate, the Suri and the Mercy tribes. And some of the younger women are getting a want to get away from the lip plate, except it brings a bigger bride price.
Ah, like
to
dowry.
To the family.
Wow, really?
And the bride price is cattle.
Wow.
And cattle are so important.
Wow.
So they
do
still
it.
Continues.
Yeah, yeah.
It continues.
Is it painful?
Can you imagine having
like,
your
but
lip?
Is it, doing, is it done
it's
like slowly
be.
Or is it just like a mutilation?
It's done fact? Before they get married.
Okay. So yeah, it's a mutilation.
Yeah. Wow.
And
it's obviously not attractive. I don't see how anybody could think it's
attractive.
Well,
you're not in their culture.
Right.
No, I know, but I'm trying to think even from their point of view. But I guess you're right.
Yeah.
I can't even begin to think how they think.
And
you know?
You can see in some of the images the lower teeth, they're sometimes there are two lower teeth missing and sometimes there are four.
Yeah, I saw a lot of that.
If there are two lower teeth missing, that's to hopefully they can survive lockjaw. So they pull the teeth as a preventative because
oh
you can
God.
Imagine, you know, tetanus lockjaw can be very predominant there. But as long as they can get substance into them for the 30 days, then they can survive.
Mm-hmm.
If there are four teeth missing on the bottom, that's to accommodate the lip plate.
Okay.
Wow.
Jeez Louise.
So, no, you guys can see these pictures. And I mean, we can sit here and talk for hours, but you're not going to get the feel
the
for
image.
This. Unless
yeah,
you see the images.
See the
yeah.
image.
Now, the book is called OMO Book, O-M-O. And I see it's available on Lynn Doran's site. You can go to lynndoran.com, LynnDoran.com. And the book is available there. You brought us a copy to look at. It's quite a
beautiful.
Book. It's quite a large format book. It's got beautiful color pictures. And that's it. You know, I mean, when I was reading up on you, I said, this is going to be amazing. But once I looked at the pictures, I'm starting to think, wow, you know, I got all these questions in my mind, you know, and I'm thinking, wow, look, we never think about how other people really live.
Oh,
know?
It's fascinating. That's what fascinates me is that we live here with every convenience you can imagine, and they live very happily.
I was going to say probably happier.
With very little.
Yeah. Right. Were they generally happy people?
Oh,
is that,
yeah.
Yeah, yeah. It looks they're
yes.
just so genuinely happy.
They're beautiful happy. People. Just beautiful, physically beautiful, and just lovely. There's just a lovely way about them. I fell in love with them. And for the last 16 years, I've been traveling to find the most intact, and the for me, intact is the key word, indigenous cultures.
And what does that mean, intact? Meaning?
Intact, whereas they're still following their tradition.
I see.
They have not been westernized.
I see.
To our standards. And they were just lovely.
Wow.
Yeah.
Just
lovely. I mean, they're living like in the Stone Age, right? Like biblical times. That's
well,
how they live.
Well, they were living in their traditional times.
Right. But that's what I'm saying. But you're saying these people seem to you generally happier than we are, would you say?
Well,
they don't have a lot of worries. They don't have a lot of stress. Of course,
they need food.
They have
food. Okay, well, obviously, but that's about it. You know, we have to go to work too. You know, but
well, now they have a lot of stress because they've dammed up the river and they don't have any water. So, they're probably images you see in this book. If you were to go there now, you would not see them.
Wow,
really?
So that's a lot of stress.
It's a lot of stress.
Wow.
And they're saying like in transition. They are in transition, which means it will never be like it was.
Do you know how many Omo tribes people there are right now? How many is it?
When I was there, it was about total of all the tribes about 2,000.
Wow,
200.
So very
no, I'm sorry, 200,000 people.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So it's going to be quickly.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah, that's still not many. Do you feel they're like becoming? I mean, are they dying off, or do you think this is going to last for generations? Those
well,
cultures.
If they don't have any water, there's no way for them to survive.
Well, but they can move, right? They can move to where the water is.
Not
they
really, because
choice.
They're based on the land.
What are they going to do, though?
That's a problem. They become extinct. It's terrible.
They have to, for the people I know who have been in the Omo very recently, I was in Chad, Africa in the fall, to photograph the Wudabi Festival. And two of the fellows that traveled with me in the Omo Valley wanted me to meet them in the Omo before we went into Chad. And I had already booked my air and I couldn't change it. By the time I saw them in Chad, they said, "We are so happy you did not come. It was so depressing."
Wow, wow.
And to get water now, I heard that they have to use a generator. Well, they don't know how to use a generator. Mm-hmm. They don't have a generator.
Yeah.
Right. So they need us to help them, really, at this point, right? Yeah. Now, let me ask you, I mean, there's like so many fascinating things about it. So now, is it like we see in the movies or on TV and stuff where everybody lives like in close quarters there? Or is there a sense of privacy? Because I always picture this living in tents or in huts.
They have a hut.
They have a hut, right?
And they're
but is it for separate families, each one? Do they have
yes.
a family?
Yes.
So they have a sense of privacy, right?
Right.
Each family does.
Right. But, you know, there are no bathrooms. There's no designated, there's no outhouse. There's no designated area.
Oh, wow. That's terrible, right? So how do they know where to go?
There are no markets. There are no...
They have to hunt for their food, cook their food every single day.
They have to. They were dependent on the river to, not only for the water.
Sure.
When the water would recede, they would plant the riverbanks.
Mm.
And they would plant corn and sorghum.
So there you go.
And those were their supplies that they would harvest that and keep them through the
year. The entire way of their life is
was
gone.
On that river.
It was on that river.
And then the cattle, of course, need the water.
Yeah. Everything was based on the river.
Yeah.
Wow.
Yes.
Very cool.
So, you know, some of the... It's really interesting. The culture runs very deep. And... You know, they'll be forced to move into a city. Well, they move into a city.
Yeah, that's not going to happen.
And they end up in, minimal conditions.
Yeah, yeah.
Their culture, the way they were used to living, is gone.
Yeah.
And it's so sad.
Yeah, that's terrible. I'm glad you have these photographs.
Oh, I am too.
Yeah.
And you guys, you have to check it out. At least if you don't get the book, check out Lynn's pictures. I mean, they're just amazing. Go to her website. LynnDoran.com. You can get an idea of the book, but I can't imagine a cooler gift to give someone, that loves books and stuff. I would love to have something like this on my table and to actually check it out, because you need the large format to really get a feel for the pictures, right?
Yeah, I found it very interesting that people, when I did the book, I thought, well, it's an art book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I have an art degree.
Oh.
But I found people are fascinated with the culture, and that's a bonus.
Yes,
it's
absolutely
a real bonus.
We are, right? But you bring in that to us, and that's the amazing thing. Without your pictures, we would never know what's going
on
there.
No one, exactly.
Nobody would know. We wouldn't know about this culture. We wouldn't know how they live. You know, we would just, they would be there, and we would be the ignorant ones, you know?
It was not, when I went there, it was not my intention to publish a book.
Mm.
But it was just after the experience, and when I got home, and I'm looking at my images, and some of my art friends were looking at images, and they said, "You have to do something.
Yeah, these are beautiful.
You have to do something.
You really do." Now, let me ask you this. Do you also aim this at galleries and stuff? Do you have some large prints that you would put in a gallery?
I have some large images. One of the images, the man in the blue hat, I enlarged 30 by 45.
Really?
And did it face mount to plexi. It was just magnificent.
Wow.
And sold it in 5 minutes.
Yeah, that's a great shot.
It's a great shot.
It's a great
shot. So all the images are available as prints to be framed.
Wow.
And they're really outstanding. So I'm working on, it's been such a whirlwind of just getting the thing published
and then
the book launch and everything. So now I'm focusing on getting some gallery shows.
Yeah, wow. There you go. And that's what I'm asking, because galleries, you get the feel for it. Do you remember when we had that photographer?
Andre Dumont. Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
And he opened the gallery and stuff, and we went there. The prints are quite pricey, you know, but I would imagine they have to be. You know, you go through hell to get to those locales,
you do.
Right?
And you have to print. Printing is very expensive.
And printing, I mean, the format is amazing.
Yeah. Printing and
very expensive.
And framing.
Yeah.
Right.
Framing itself.
Right.
Mounting is good. Tell me about the white. In a lot of these at the celebrations, they're covered in sort of aboriginal-looking white paint.
What is that mud?
White? Oh, that's mud. Okay. And is that just for decoration?
That's the Kara tribe, and they're known for that type of painting on their bodies. And we spent a lot of time at the Deuce Village, and we were so fortunate. Late afternoon, the whole village went down to the river and painted themselves all up.
Wow.
And they're coming back up the hill to the village, and I was snapping shots
as
they were coming up the hill, crouching down, jumping up, running backwards, crouching down. They were not going to wait for me.
No.
You know?
Yeah. Was it a party or was
it
just
a party?
Yeah, yeah.
It was a party.
Wow. They're beautifully done.
And the emotion on their faces, I just love it. And everybody was dancing and the dust was flying.
Wow.
And you see, you know what? The thing is this, is that what I'm also noticing about the pictures and about those celebrations you're talking about, not only did they put the mud and all the patterns on and everything, they even do their hair, right? The kids' hair everything. They shave it off in certain patterns.
And powder, everything.
And so they care.
They did the ear of the
bull. Appearance. They care about appearance very much.
And maybe that's why I identified with them so much, is I'm very visual. Mm. And everything about them is decorated.
Right.
Yeah. You know, found objects dangling in the center of their forehead.
Feathers everywhere.
Right. I see they tattoo each other and brand each other and stuff, right?
They even cut the bull, their cow's ear into a decoration.
Yeah.
Wow.
Isn't that crazy?
Uh-huh. Yeah.
But that's what you have. That's an artistic people. They just have to create and show on the outside what they feel on the inside.
Yeah, that's true. And that's how they express themselves.
It's insane.
It's very interesting. Very interesting. Now, let me ask you, did you get a glimpse into, this is like hard to, it would be difficult because it's a private thing, but did you get any glimpse into their sex lives? I mean, what are they like what I'm saying is, but did you learn anything about it? I mean, do they mate only for procreation, or are they like us too? Did you have sex for pleasure? Do you know?
The Hammer tribe, the women are known as the promiscuous ones. The Hammer, the Hammer women are beautiful. Mm. I mean, really beautiful. They kind of have the nickname as the promiscuous ones.
That's so funny.
Yeah,
it runs.
But
in
they have multiple wives. Of course.
Oh, they do.
Oh, yes.
So there's no problem. I mean, they want somebody. Oh, so I see. Okay, so everybody is available there and everything, just like it would be in a polygamy of a thing.
Well, the Hammer tribe, the women, they have the different metal necklaces on, and if they have the one top metal necklace, which has a protrusion of metal.
Yeah, I saw that.
That means she's the first wife.
Oh, so there's an honor to being the first wife, of course.
Yeah, first. And then in the bull jumping ceremony.
Yeah, tell me about that. What is that?
Oh, that's amazing.
What is that?
Well, it's a coming of age of a young man. And they line up about 15 bulls, and he has to jump from the ground. He's naked except for a couple twigs wrapped around his chest. Jumps from the ground, runs across the bulls, jumps down on the other side, jumps up, and runs at least 5 to 7 times.
Over the bulls?
Over the bull, back to the bulls that they've lined up.
Oh, so he's stepping on the bulls.
He's actually stepping on top. Can you imagine how slippery that would be? And the men are on this side, kind of holding the bulls, lining them up. So if he's successful, then he has come of age, and he can then marry. Now, the precursor to the event is the whipping of the women, which is, in our culture, very difficult to understand. But to them, it's very, very important. The women want the scars on their backs.
Yeah, because I see some of these, there's some bloody images.
Yes. Yeah,
they are.
And what is, so that was that part of the coming of age? Or?
That's the pre part of this celebration. The women are begging the maza, the young man, to whip them.
I see.
And they want those scars because when they get old and they don't have anybody to take care of them, they can go to the young man and say, look, I was there for you.
Oh.
When you came of age, you need to take care of me now.
Like a quid pro quo.
Wow.
Wow.
You see, that's how you got to plan your life like that. That's true.
So,
what a strange tradition. I mean, strange for us, not strange in any way.
Not strange for them. And at the start of that particular chapter, I have a Wade Davis quote in there, which I think is so appropriate.
It says, don't become more like, they're not going to all become you or something?
It's a fabulous, fabulous quote by Wade Davis. They're not failed attempts at being you.
Right.
And I think one of the most telling images in the book is a young girl at the bull jumping ceremony. She's maybe 8 years old. Mm-hmm. And she's posturing like she sees the older women, to be whipped.
Wow.
She can hardly wait when she grows up for this painful ritual.
Wow.
So that just shows how deep the culture is.
Yes.
And some people would say when women have Brazilian waxes, that's a crazy thing that we do. Do you know what I mean? Everyone has a different viewpoint on what's crazy for each culture.
Yeah. That's
like
true,
waxing
right?
our pubic hair would be insane. Why would you rip that out, you know?
That's true.
And for us, we're like, this is crazy, but it's just all relative.
It's all relative. Yeah.
To
that's
your culture.
True, right?
Yeah, exactly. I mean, that sounds insane to some people.
It does, you know, and but for them, that's all they know, right? And but would you say that based on this, then that that humans may not be monogamous after all? I mean, are we monogamous?
Humans in general?
Yeah.
That's
because,
a big statement.
No, because let me tell you why. Because, you know, when people make statements about saying, humans are monogamous, you know.
There may be a few.
Mm. Okay. So, but to them, it's not, I guess you're right. When the woman thinks about being taken care of, what do they care if he's got two more wives, right? I mean, as long as he takes care of her too, right?
Right.
And that's, I think, what it boils down to. Yeah. So they don't, it's not like the women are forced to be in a marriage or anything, right?
So going back to the first, second, third wife and the bull jumping, there's an order of the first son of the first wife can jump first.
Whoa.
And so if you're the third son of the third
the
wife.
The third wife, my God.
There he can be 35 years old.
Wow.
Yeah,
by the time
he
jumps.
Right.
I see.
Yeah.
Is it,
so there's a priority of being of the first wife.
Wow. Yeah the first wife in a lot of cultures that have polygamous marriages are usually the highest honor. In Asian cultures, and usually that's seen as the highest honor. And they usually get more choices for their offspring too.
Right.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah.
So was it, were they engaging with you, or was it more of like a barrier with the camera?
One of the events, which is the wedding celebration, Steve heard there was going to be a celebration at the top of the mountain, and it had been raining for days. Water just ran through the bottom of my tent. It was just, it was mud everywhere. So the next morning, the sun is out, but everything's mud soaked. And so we trek up this mountain. It took us 2 hours slipping and sliding off the trail, and we get up to the village, and the chief came out, and there's some negotiation, and there's like, no, you're not coming in.
Really?
Mm.
And we're like, oh no, all that
work.
So then there's more negotiation. Who knows what was discussed, and we're in.
Wow.
But we went in with the utmost respect.
Yeah.
Absolutely staying at the sidelines. Nobody pulled out a camera, and you just waited until they
got comfortable
with you.
Yes.
But I can tell you there are two ladies that I have a shot of. It is not included in the book. They were looking at my camera like they'd never seen one before.
Wow. That must be crazy to see someone just hold up a black, long,
like
metal thing.
You.
Yeah, and make a noise.
And I try not to get in their face.
Sure.
I have a big enough zoom that I can, I'm not in their face.
Right.
All the shots in the book, there are two sunset shots that were a group of people that were staged, but all the shots in the whole interior of the book were not staged.
Not staged at all. Yeah.
No,
yeah.
They're taken on the fly.
Right.
Handheld.
I'm totally fascinated. I mean,
it's just
beautiful. And you've got some great pictures of animals as well, gorillas and wow.
Oh, on my website.
On your website.
So what made you want to become this travel person? Have you always wanted it?
You know, my parents started me, for sure. I was in grade school in the 50s, and my parents hooked up the traveling trailer.
Whoa.
And we go down into the heart of Mexico. My brother and I were both in grade school.
Wow, cool.
And none of us spoke Spanish. And off we go, the whole family in the traveling trailer.
How was that?
It was fascinating. I still have images of that in my head.
Wow.
Yeah, wow.
And things of Mexico that you would never, ever see again. And that's what got me started.
But they taught me
way back then to travel with respect for the people and the places you go.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, you have to, otherwise they're going to kick your ass out of there. You know, I mean, you're coming in as a stranger, as an outsider. You have to respect the people there. And you've learned that, and they give you access to their lives,
right.
And that's the amazing thing. I mean, I can't wait. for the show to be over so I can look a little bit more at the book before
good.
You leave, okay?
Great. Yes.
Because, and I'm actually going to get a book like this. I mean, this is like, I don't know, I sort of like connected to it, only looking at it for a few minutes.
You know, what's really interesting, I found, and I don't know why I didn't think men would be that interested, but I have found men are just fascinated with it.
Yeah, we are.
One man, I mean,
I think we like the openness. Maybe we like the, but the openness and their innocence, you know?
Yeah.
It seems like, you look at them and they're just like, they're, you can see the effect of the weather on the older people, you know, very wrinkled, very wrinkly and everything, because they're out in the elements a lot.
Well, my dermatologist, I showed him a couple images and he's like, he's fascinated. He goes, oh my goodness, even with their dark skin, they've got a this and that and the other thing.
Because they're always out
he's
there.
He's looking at it,
sure,
you know, from the skin problems.
Yes.
What is this? In one picture, someone is like chewing on something. Is that like a...
Sticks.
Yeah,
They break off a stick and that's pretty much how they clean their teeth.
It was like a toothbrush kind of feeling. Okay, got it.
Oh, wow.
But then like she has part of a watch band dangling off.
Yeah. I got to be honest, the jewelry is what's getting me.
Oh, jewelry's fabulous.
There, and these huge beaded necklaces that just go like multiple
the
chain strands.
The Nyingatong tribe. I mean, they have there must be 100 necklaces.
Yeah, I mean, there's all over their necks, and they create them themselves.
Yes.
Wow. Tell me something. Do they have anything modern there at all? Nothing, huh? Not like toilet paper, for example. What do they do? What do they do with their hands, and then they go in the river?
Or leaves?
I would think leaves.
I mean, what did you do? I mean, didn't you stay overnight there? Or?
Well, we had our camp.
Oh, you had a camp. Okay,
and
we had
like a
like portable and things
like that.
Little
toilet tent.
Nice, nice. But what do they do? You don't know?
I don't know.
Really? How long were you there?
3 weeks.
Three weeks.
And
see, I'd wonder. I'd ask him, man, how are you wiping your ass, man? You
know, they would love you.
I need to know that.
Is it a matriarchal or is it are women in charge or men in charge? Men. Okay, got it.
For sure.
Okay, especially since the whipping kind of got me thinking. Yeah. Okay.
And also the polygamy.
Yeah. Sure.
Too.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. But
there are some
amazing
African tribes where women are in charge.
Yes, yes, I would imagine. But do they have multiple husbands?
Yes.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow, here, service me today.
Yeah.
Yeah. Wow.
Yes.
Yeah. So this
very
is so
interesting. I'd love to live a culture like that.
I know.
Let me be a slave, lady.
So this was also, when they had the dancing and celebrations, what kind of music are they playing? Is it mostly drums?
It's chanting.
Chanting and drums.
Drumming.
Okay,
chanting,
okay,
drumming.
That's what I was thinking.
Yeah.
Yeah, wow.
So did you ever play music? Did you ever show them things that were modern, or was that something that you just weren't, that they're not interested in?
I didn't have any.
You didn't have any. I didn't have like a cell phone
modern
or anything. That's crazy.
Oh, and my camera.
Yeah, it was supposed to be crazy.
Modern thing I have. You travel very light. When you're traveling in those little planes, you can't have a lot of luggage.
Yeah. So the film must be, I guess it's all digital. Yeah, it's all digital. Yeah.
Digital, but you have to be able to charge your batteries.
Yeah. Right.
So we would have a crude electrical plug hanging in our tent, and with water running through the bottom of the tent, every time I plugged in, it's like, God,
please don't do
it. Yeah. God, I hope this works.
Oh, my God. Wow. You are very adventurous. I don't know if I could do it.
I'm telling you, yeah.
God.
And, of course, the adventurous is the adventurous photographer we have here, artist. You said you also have an art degree, right?
I do. And I had an art degree. Then I was a businesswoman in a creative field. And then I'm an adventure traveler.
So you mix them all together and you got this.
That's what it needed, all those parts to create this book. But can you imagine being that pregnant?
I was looking at this being like, I would want to be in bed, girl.
Yeah, yeah, but like
look,
pregnant.
She has dirt on her fingers. She's been working in the field.
God.
Wow. So this is that's what they do most of the day's work, right?
Yeah,
in the field.
Constant work.
Raising the children and everything.
Right.
So they're busy.
They're constantly busy.
They're busy.
Sun up to sun down. Constantly.
I guess. No wonder why they don't have a lot of time for sex and everything. I can't imagine them not thinking about sex half as much as we do. My God, you know? But our society is totally different here.
Oh,
you know?
Different.
Yeah, so different. We've changed so much. And I guess so people are wondering which is better, but...
We could not, if someone dropped us in one of those villages to live,
we wouldn't
survive.
Right, we wouldn't live.
We would not survive.
Yeah. I know.
And I do not use primitive any longer. I use indigenous because primitive...
That's a bad connotation,
I think. Like they're not smart.
Right, they're dumber somehow.
But they're not.
Right.
We could not survive the way they survive.
That's true, right?
Yeah, they just have.
They're connected to that
things.
Land. Mm-hmm. Yeah, what right. do we know about
being
in the land?
It's very spiritual.
Yeah,
it's much more.
I mean, what is it? The worst. I mean, the best I'll do is take a tent and stay at a camp here or something near the beach. You know, but for them to survive like this out
and then you can come home and take a shower.
Exactly.
Yeah. It's crazy.
Yeah. Wow. Yeah. Lynn Doran, thank you so much for joining
thank
us.
Thank you. Amazing.
So
fascinating.
The book's name is OMO, right?
Correct.
Okay.
OMO.
And you can go to Lynn's website, lynndoran.com. A lot of stuff here. I mean, you guys will get a feel for the book. I highly recommend it. I'm going to get me one.
Good. I might be able to leave one with you today.
Really?
Yeah.
Well, you know what? I don't know if I would. It's such a pretty book, you know? And, you know, but if you gave it to me, I would be forever grateful to you. Okay. And maybe Tori and I will share it.
Yeah.
Perfect.
I need to go through every picture and really analyze it because I realized something about it captured me.
Good. Fabulous. That's what I didn't do it. You know, that is the best compliment I could ever give.
Really?
Yeah. Yes, of course.
That's why she did
of
it.
Of course.
That's right.
That's true.
If,
wow.
You know, if the feelings from the people grab you, that's the highest compliment I can get.
Yeah, yeah. No, I mean, when I see their, like, mutilated lips and their very, like, wrinkly skin and things like that, it's like I'm saying, wow, look how different they are from us. And they live like this and they paint their bodies and they brand themselves and their skin.
But I bet they think our toenail polish is the craziest thing in the world. You know what I mean?
But I mean, I'm just fascinated by this, you know? I mean, when we see the Western world every day and all we think about is we look into screens and all day and stuff, you know? And then suddenly you're looking at something like this, you go, wow, you know? People live differently, and they can. Mm-hmm. Anyway, Lynn, give your website again.
LynnDoran.com.
LynnDoran.com. Are you on social media at all? Do you want people to find you?
Well, the book is on Amazon now.
Okay, cool.
On Amazon.
OMO. It can't be any easier than that.
And let's see, Facebook, Instagram. So those
sounds
are
good. Yeah. And you have pictures there and everything,
yes.
too. And
wonderful.
Well, we'd love to have you back. I mean, I'd love to talk to you about photography and everything. We haven't even touched on that yet. You
right.
know? So we'd love to have you back anytime you're ready
Thank
to
you.
Come back. Okay.
Amazing.
I know the drive is long. Now you get to drive back. But
traffic won't be so bad.
Yeah,
now.
That's true.
Yeah. And hopefully we made it worthwhile
Absolutely.
For you.
Absolutely.
Awesome.
Wonderful.
Lynn, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Okay. Tori, thanks as always for the ride.
Anyway.
Thanks everybody for listening and we'll see you tomorrow.
You're listening to Sam in the Morning with Tori, only on LA Talk Radio.